God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord.
I thank God who I serve as my ancestors did. With a clear conscience, as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears. You guys remember that? Right? Recalling your tears. Right? Maybe the last time that Timothy was with Paul, it was a tearful farewell. Okay? I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Remember that question, right? Last time? Who shaped your faith and whose faith are you shaping? Alright, that was kind of a fun question. And this, we got, for this reason, in verse 6, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gives us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you've heard from me, right, key passage, as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, included Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. All right. So one of the things that we did, an exercise that we did last time, was to take about 2 minutes to observe what the scriptures were kind of saying, but not just trying to understand the scriptures, but just notice, you know, some words, maybe things that pop out of the page for you, things that make you curious, right? And then we discovered that there were three kind of sections to this. And we did the first one last time, which was remember the faith you've received. But today we're going to get into fan into flame, the gift of God. Okay, we're going to learn what that is. And then also we'll have time to guard what has been entrusted to you. And we're going to use the scriptures to explain what those mean. But understand that Paul starts with, hey, to remain faithful, how do we do it? Right? How do we remain faithful despite fear and suffering, which is the theme of this section? Well, hey, let's remember the faith that you've received, right? Where did it come from? Right? Fan the faith into flame, your gifts of God, and guard what has been entrusted to you. Right? These are the three steps. Remember, fan, and guard. Okay? All right. So, let's go ahead and jump into this next segment here, because we already did all this, right? You guys remember that? Right? Paul begins with hope, not prison. My dear son, remember his tears? We kind of went over that really well. And we finished with faithfulness begins by remembering the faith you received and the people God used to shape it. But here's the thing. The reality is that this is just where it starts, right? Remembered faith is good, but it's just the beginning, right? We got to live it out. It can't just remember, right? That's part of it. But we got to live it out. All right? So let's go ahead and get into that. All right? So we're going to do the exercise. I'm going to read this scripture here, 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 12. And we're going to take a good minute just to observe what's on the page. Right? What jumps out of you? And just consider it. and maybe write it down, maybe use your phone, and I'm going to go around and ask, hey, what did you notice? All right, sounds good? All right, let's do it. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 12. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gives us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. All right, let's take about 1 minute. Right. Quick minute, right? Pretty quick. Should have got another minute, but it's okay. All right. So, let's go ahead. What did you notice? Raise your hand. What did you notice? Anything pop out of the page for you? Julia.
Verse 12, I think, is a very important part because regardless of his suffering, he's still remaining faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentions how he is still able to keep that faith until that day.
Yeah. Literally until the end. Remain faithful. Literally, the whole point, the whole theme is right here. And Paul is showing a great example of what that looks like. Thank you for noticing that. That's great. Paul's example of remaining faithful. Good eye. Anybody else? Yeah?
Don't be ashamed of his testimony but join him in suffering.
How did you notice that? Like, what stood out? Why did that stand out for you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yes. And you know what? We're going to get into the deeper on that note. What's up, brother? How are you? Let me grab this for you. This is not yours, right?
No,
it was already there. Yeah. We're going to actually dig into that a little bit. So thank you. Yeah. Do not be ashamed. You know what? That's a very popular verse. Actually, you noticed that last time. So there's some context behind that. And we're going to discover that literally right here in a few moments. Yeah. What verse?
I guess it's part of 9.
Okay.
This grace is given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. And then leading to 10, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, which is great death and blood.
Yeah. And why tell me why you noticed that. What about it got your attention? Yeah. Oh, yeah. So there was grace even in the beginning, before we even were created, before even the earth was to be. There was some grace available. Yes, Jan.
Julia
verse 12, I love that it says, I know who I have believed.
Mm-hmm.
If you know who is he? Who have you believed?
Yeah.
And because of that, he's convinced of everything else.
Mm.
But if you don't know who you believe in, then what good is anything?
Yeah. You know, it implies a relationship. Like, I know him. We know each other. And I have believed in him. Yes.
I noticed in verse 8, where he talks about being willing to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I think of being willing to suffer through endurance, through faith, through character. But he says, through the power of God. In other words, calling on the Holy Spirit that lives in us to help us in our time when we're being persecuted or suffering.
Yeah.
So just to remember him as he's living in us. And in context, he's talking about that because that's the spirit that God's given us is powerful one.
Yeah, amen.
So I tend to go more self-reliance when I'm being persecuted or tested, but he's advised me to do God-reliance.
Yeah, rely on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you for sharing, John. All right, here are some things that we're going to kind of touch on today. Okay, so, some things that I noticed, right? Obviously the fan into the flame idea, the spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, right? To share in the suffering, right? We talked about that. The fact that the gospel is right in here, right? The gospel is right smack dab in there, right in the middle of all that suffering and not be ashamed and having courage. And then God's grace, right? That we've had since the beginning. Some of the really powerful stuff. But I kind of want to start from verse 6 here. Because in verse 6, I love, if you ever see something say, for this reason, I'm going to tell you right now, when you see that and you're reading the Bible, you got to ask, what reason? Right? Why is there a reason? Like, what's the reason here? And if you remember, he just talked about all the faith, remembering your faith, the sincere faith that came from Lois and Eunice and even from Paul, right? So because of all this sincere faith that he's had, remember this, right? Like, for that reason, I remind you, okay, to fan into flame the gift of God. And I like that picture because that's why I put this little thing right here, right? It's a campfire. Who likes going camping? Okay? So, quick plug. I am low-key planning a camping trip soon. You guys know Abraham, right? He's not here, but
yes.
We're kind of working on a little camping trick. So, keep your eyes peeled for that notice. But, hey, when you go camping, you got a campfire. Well, what do you got to do to get that fire going?
Light a match.
Yeah, you got to light a match, but you got to do way more than that.
Maybe
that was the faith that was given to you. Someone lit a match. But to keep it going, you got to put a little bit of effort, right?
Yeah.
You got to put some embers. You got to blow on it, you know.
The big logs, you got to have, like, work your way up from the
kindling. Yeah, it's actually, you know what? Some versions of this scripture, of this passage in different versions will say rekindle, right? Rekindle the flame. Yeah, it's just like a campfire, right? The fire exists. But someone needs to stir it up, right? You got to put a little bit of effort into that. Feed it, fan it, okay? And he's not telling Timothy, hey, go start a new fire.
Nope.
Right? He's saying, hey, you already have the fire. Just fan it into flame, right? So what are some ways we can fan our faith into flame? Okay, that's deep, but yes. You went deep. You went all the way down there. Yes. Yeah. A simple way is just by being here. Honestly. I mean, I'm so proud of you guys. That is amazing. You don't have to be here. Totally voluntary. There's no grade. Nobody's telling you to, hey, you gotta be here. Nobody's gonna twist your arm. But you're here, you know, hey, we invited you and you came. So, thank you. You know, you're literally right now fanning. You're throwing an ember into the campfire of your faith. Okay, so thank you for being here. Please keep coming. Okay, any other ways? Yes?
Read your Bible daily.
Read your Bible daily. That's right. That's my wife, by the way. I love her. Yes, read your Bible daily. Yes, so you gotta be like Julia. If you don't have a Bible, buy one.
Yes.
Okay, this is inspiring, encouraging. Okay, read your Bible daily. Yes.
Prayer.
Yeah, these are some basic things. Be present, right? You're here present, you read your Bible, and you have some prayer time. Yes, Julia, last one. Spend time with others. Get mentorship. Get support. Get relationship. Be in a relation, you know, relational connection. Be in a family. Yeah, these are all beautiful ways that we can fan our faith into flame. But do you know what? Why does the campfire start to, you know, start to go out? Why would it do that? Why would our faith start to kind of...
Because you don't put more wood on the fire.
Yeah, like you don't put more wood, right? Why don't we? What are some things that can get in the way? Yeah.
Our focus shifts to things that don't matter.
You know what? That's very strong words. I think some of those things could matter, but they don't matter as important as your faith. Now I'll give you an example. School. School. This is practically your job. I mean, let's face it. This is work for you guys. Okay? You're training. Working, right? You got responsibilities. You got to get up at a certain time. You got to show up. You may not be getting paid, but some of you got scholarships, so that's your payment, right? You got duties. You got tests. You got things to take care of, right? I mean, yeah, right? But it can. It's not bad, but it can start to cause you to, you know, put your focus elsewhere, not throw a little ember into the campfire of your faith. You know, we got work, stress, right? Disappointments, busyness. Man, there's a lot of reasons. So I think those things are not necessarily bad, but what we need to focus on is, hey, let's take that campfire and, you know, make our faith a little bit, have a little bit of a daily priority with it, right? Just a little bit, right? 15 minutes in the morning, quick prayer time, maybe show up to an event. Start to like, let the ember start to flame up, okay? It does require intentionality. Now let's look at verse 7. It says, for the Spirit of God does not make us timid, right? The Spirit of God does not give us a spirit of being cowards, right? Gives us power, love and self-discipline. Man, I love that. Man, it gives me some strength. You know, I feel inside me something just ready to fight for God, I guess. But man, you know, the spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. And if you look at the next verse, it says, so do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. So I think this is the part where we need to understand that our faithfulness does not come by our own strength. It actually comes because God equips us, right? God equips us for faithfulness. But here's the reality. What was going on during this time? Because we just heard Paul talk about, you know, him being a prisoner, right? And do not be ashamed. Now, so I mentioned this before in a previous lesson on 1 Timothy. So in 1 Timothy, it was actually written around AD 64. This one was written about two, maybe 3 years later. And around AD 64, when Paul wrote 1 Timothy, this is what's going on right now. Okay. Literally, it's in full intensity. So before that, it just happened, you know, Christians were being somewhat persecuted, but now, at 2 years later, almost 3 years later, it is going full-fledged. Okay, so we have the Roman Emperor's Nero, there was a fire in Rome, and people wanted to blame him, but Nero decided to blame Christians. So there was a great persecution. I'm talking about, you know, burned alive, thrown to animals, crucified, executed. And here's Paul in prison, you know, during this time. Paul's in prison. So following Jesus was just not popular, okay? It was dangerous. Now, thankfully, we don't live here in the U.S. We don't live in a time like that. However, you know, I don't know if following Jesus is always popular, okay? I don't know if it's always popular. Okay, I don't think it's dangerous right now here in the U.S., but when you think of this in light of what Paul is writing, now we got some context, some real good context. He's saying, hey, The Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Now, here's the thing. When you hear this, yes, we can think about it in our own self, like our power, our love, you know, to love others, and our self-discipline to resist sin and whatnot. But in reality, this Paul was actually talking about something completely different. So in this regard, commentators would say, I'm going to go back to this. Commentator would say that the spirit of power was all about advancing the gospel. Because in light of great persecution, the Spirit of God gave power to advance the gospel. So that means to not be afraid to share your faith. That's what Paul was talking about. Not just strength to just take on the world, right? But to, even though there was persecution, to continue to advance the gospel. And then what about love, right? What about love? Love is the reason why we have that power. Okay? Love is the reason why. And not only that, but as you know, in the New Testament, Jesus says, love your enemy. And there was lots of people. I mean, it wasn't popular, right? You went outside and you try to share your faith, man. Right now, you know, we go and try to share our faith and we just get a no, or I'm busy, or yeah, not right now. That's all we get. We don't get somebody trying to arrest us, right? So, but here's the kicker for self-discipline. What I like about this one is that I, as a trainer in my past life, I think of self-discipline. I think of just controlling my body in regards to like eating healthy and making smart decisions and all those other things, right? Right? Waking up early, doing your homework, that kind of stuff. But in here, Paul's talking about, again, something different. In light of the persecution, it was so unjust. And how many people here can feel unjust in our daily lives? Like something, oh man, somebody cut me off, or that teacher gave me a bad grade, or man, I don't know why, you know, this person like treated me this way. I didn't do anything wrong. Anybody ever feel like that? So the self-control that he's talking about, self-discipline, is to resist the urge to retaliate. To resist the urge to fight back. To be angry. To seek justice. I mean, I know we have things we can fight for. Respectfully, right? Honorably. But in this situation, Paul was telling Timothy, hey, keep advancing the gospel, love people, don't retaliate. And that's tough, man. That's tough. Man. And you know what? Do not be ashamed. That's right after this. It's very interesting because, you know, it's easy to be ashamed when people want to hurt you. You know, you're kind of like, I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to reach out. You know? But in this case, I mean, how else can we advance the gospel if we don't, right? If we don't have courage. So I think this is why Paul is saying, hey, share with me in suffering. Now let's look at the verses here. Okay, let's get into this Bible, right? It says in verse 9 and 10, right? Wait, is it verse 9 and 10? Give me a second. Oh, yeah. No, verse 12. Because this is why I am suffering as I am, yet this is no cause for shame. Because here, Paul doesn't tell Timothy, hey, be courageous, right? He says, hey, I'm suffering for the gospel. Come join me. Come with me. Can you imagine if I come to you guys like, hey, you guys want to come with me to a campus and just share our faith and get rejected 10 times, 15 times, 100 times? You guys want to come with me? No. Yeah, come on. Nobody likes getting rejected. Hey, you guys want to come share our faith over here and get kicked out? No. I mean, they were going through some things, right? They were going through some real things. But it's true. Hey, come share it. There's a suffering in advancing the gospel. That's what Paul's example is, right? He's literally imprisoned because of it. He is leading by example. And so faithfulness here requires courage. And that courage grows when we remember what God has given us, right? The Holy Spirit deposited, the gospel deposited in our hearts, and what Christ has accomplished for us, the gospel, right? Let us not forget that, because that is, Christ is the cornerstone of our faith, okay? Christ is the cornerstone of our faith. So let's move on. All right, let's go to verse 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. And we're going to read, actually, we're going to reread 13 through 18, okay? And we're coming, I think, perfect timing. All right, so here we go. You guys ready? You guys with me?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. What you've heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed, key word, not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. All right, so let's take 1 minute and just kind of look at the text, right, and see what you notice. You know, what do you notice? All right, let's take 1 minute. All right, 20 seconds. All right. Okay. Anybody have anything they want to share in regards to what they noticed? Anybody? Maybe somebody new that hasn't shared? Yeah, you've heard. Yeah. Oh, go ahead, bro. What?
I was just saying the sound of crickets.
Oh, yeah. I didn't hear any crickets, though, but I can imagine there was crickets, yeah. Yeah, go ahead. What was your name, sir?
Oh, Alex.
Alex, what's up, brother? Go ahead.
What's up, man? So, verse 16, verse 17, the household of Onesiphorus was not ashamed of false chains.
Mm-hmm.
And how, like, they weren't embarrassed about it. And,
yeah. Yeah. They were not ashamed. You know, at this time, it was shameful to be, you know, connected to a prisoner of some kind. You know, it wasn't like reputable. People, you know, he had to risk his reputation, his freedom, maybe even his life just to refresh Paul. That's kind of crazy. And he searched him out. It sounds like he searched him out for quite some time in Rome. That's wild. Yes.
Verse 14, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you.
Yeah.
I feel like I took that as in like, involved in like gifted in certain things and so like protection. And
yeah.
Some people have the ability to be more outgoing. Some people may be more introverted.
Mm.
Or maybe just different gifts that people have. I think just to be able to guard that.
Yeah. Amen. Yes, we do have good gifts and we should use them for the glory of God. So thank you for noticing that. I will say that the guard of the good deposit would be the gospel that has been entrusted. So it's very interesting too, because the gospel is entrusted to you. It's not given to you, right? It's not for you to do whatever you want with. You don't own the gospel, right? You're stewards of it, right? You take care of it, hold on to it, keep it, share it, right? Anybody else? Yeah.
I think adding on to what Aaron said, in Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14, it says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guarantee in our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." And I think it's like, when he says, guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, it's like, by yourself, you, like, with the fire, you can't, if you have your own knowledge of fire, it's like you're, at least if you don't have that much knowledge on how to keep it running, it's going to die off.
Yeah.
But with the Holy Spirit, you have to ask for, like what we said earlier,
yeah,
you have to, like, include God in everything you do so
yeah,
that your fire doesn't run out.
Amen. Yeah, you know, the Holy Spirit has a place in how we guard, because it gives us the power to do so. So we can, often we can rely on our own strengths, and some of us might be stronger than others, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, maybe some of us can do heavier squats. I know Jaime, I've seen him do some pretty heavy squats, you know, in the workouts, right? Maybe some bench press, that's good, you know, strengths. But in reality, we can't do this on our own, okay? We cannot. We need the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
One thing I noticed in verse 13, he said, "What you've heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching." So to me, sound teaching is not just a list of things that you teach, but it's a pattern. It's I'm not sure exactly what he's referring to, but he's trying to remind him of how he taught.
Yeah.
And the spirit that he used. And he says, so guard the good deposit in verse 14, but part of that good deposit is that pattern of teaching.
Yeah. You know, I think this goes back to the overarching pastoral theme of, you know, defending against false teachers, right? There's still false teachers, right? There's still a need for sound doctrine. And, you know, if you remember sound doctrine, if you don't know what sound doctrine is, you can tell by its fruit, right? So sometimes you get advice, and it's not necessarily like written exactly in the Bible, but you follow it and you're like, wow, that turned out to be better than I thought. That's fruit, right? So you can kind of lock that in and be like, okay, that was a good pattern of teaching right there, right? There's something there that was really good. So in this case, the gospel will produce fruit, and the teaching behind that is sound. And so here, we can see that sound teaching that, hey, Paul was saying, remember that pattern, right? What you've seen me do, right? Yeah.
By an example of faithful friendship and, like, yeah, just having that still, like, knowing that someone's in jail, that, you know, usually you forget about them.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he still visited him and encouraged
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
And wasn't ashamed that his friend was in jail.
Yeah.
That he was, that Paul was in jail.
So I want you to notice this. In these two, Paul goes from the gospel, talks about guarding and keeping, but then he goes right into these examples, right? He's using these two examples. Hey, Phygellus and Hermogenes, they deserted me. That's how you say it? Say it.
Oh, saying, not good.
Not good, oh yeah. So they deserted him, right? But Onesiphorus didn't. He actually refreshed him. In this time of need. Now, we can think, actually, you know what? I've been using this commentary. And when I came to this spot, I thought it was really interesting. And I wanted to share this. In regards to Onesiphorus, it says, let's see here. The theology, oh, here we go. Okay. In what is surely an irony, Onesiphorus, by visiting Paul, and refreshing his heart, demonstrated life-saving hospitality, even though he was not Paul's host. Thus, hospitality is not just a matter of providing a comfortable space for others or of entertaining. Hospitality is ultimately about seeking those in misery and reviving their hearts. I thought that was pretty interesting. And this is Paul. He didn't act like he was in misery because he wasn't living in his circumstances. He was thinking ahead to the promised life. Remember that? But Onesiphorus went after him and refreshed him. Right? So, usually about this time we would do like a little discussion. So I'm going to go hurry up into that because I want to get some time to do that. But I want to just kind of end with this. Faithfulness means guarding the gospel we received and living in a way that encourages others to remain faithful as well. I think Paul needed to be refreshed. Okay. It really encouraged his faith. You could see that. He was praying for him, asking for other people to pray for him. It was important, right? It helped him to be faithful. And you know, we're highly respectful of Paul because of what he wrote. Maybe we don't know too much about Onesiphorus, but man, how instrumental was he? Right? So, in summary, we have to remain faithful despite fear. We gotta remember the faith you received, right? Fan into flame the gift of God, the gift God has given you, right? It could be the Holy Spirit. It could be the gifts that you received, right? The spiritual gifts. Right, guard what has been entrusted to you, and that would be the gospel. Okay, so let's take a few moments here. Maybe you can chat with a partner next to you. We'll take about just a few minutes. And here are some questions. You don't have to answer them all. Maybe you and your partner can maybe pick one or two. And, you know, talk to each other, right? Have a little bit of discussion. Which of these challenges speak to you most right now? Why? Which of these, you know, remembering your faith, we did it last time. But hey, do you need to fan your faith into flame, right? Or just be in more of guarding, of understanding and keeping the gospel, right? Share, we did this last time. Hey, if you weren't here, I kept that question there, right? We talked about who inspired your faith and whose faith you're inspiring. What circumstances are you tempted to stay quiet and be maybe a little ashamed to share, right? In your faith, why? Why? Okay, and does your life encourage someone right now to remain faithful? Why or not? Why or not? Okay, so let's chat. Let's do a little bit of chatting. We'll probably go till maybe 5 minutes. That's it. Sound good? All right. Talk to a partner next to you. Three is good. Three. Four if necessary. Two. I like these chairs, man. You just scoot. So you can do three or four, yeah.
Thank you. And even though some of you guys might know my circumstances, but my father's in prison right now. Despite going through that, kind of injustice, when I was going through the system, because he didn't understand English, couldn't really fight it.
Don't notice the phone, okay? Just do your thing. Just keep talking, keep talking.
Oh, I was done.
Was him like encouraging me? He was like, "It's gonna be okay. But just stay strong."
And that was big to me. I felt like the whole world is crushing down. And the first thing that my dad tells me is,
Thank you. Still going?
Reaching out. You gotta reach out.